You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We come to you from our beautiful studio here in Berea at the Browns headquarters. Jim Donovan, along with Vic Carucci, and a full lineup of guests coming up here on Cleveland Browns Daily today. Coming up at 1:40, Gerard Cherry will join us. At 2:15, it will be Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And then at 2:40 or so, 2:30, 2:40, right in that region, Browns defensive line coach Joe Cullen, who's doing a great, great job with the Browns defensive line. Nathan Zagura will check in at 2:45 with us, and we'll take it right up until 3 o'clock. And the Browns take on the Indianapolis Colts, and they get a longer week, Vic, now to get ready for that game now because it's a Saturday night game. They're off that Thursday schedule, and then a short week after that as they get ready for the Bears, and then it's for real time.
Yeah, the schedule is interesting because they go into their regular season mode, the regular season schedule. No more of the 4 o'clock practices that get over around 6:15 or so. The last of those was yesterday here in Berea. Players off today, and then beginning tomorrow, because of the nature of the week, it's still normally Tuesday's a day off, but they're treating today as that, again, approaching a Saturday game. So Tuesday will begin the work week, and it will be a situation where the players are on the field somewhere in the 1 o'clock range, uh-huh. I think, and you'll hear from Coach like earlier in the day. So the whole – what he's trying to instill is get all the players now used to this mindset, even though many of them are not going to be on the team to deal with this in the regular season, but get used to this mindset of how the regular season rolls.
Here's the other thing. No matter where you went all weekend long, and I was out and about all weekend long, and I assume you were too,
yeah.
People are really excited about this. They have enjoyed what they have seen. Okay, they're not seeing 9-6 wins. I mean, they liked wins, but, I mean, they're seeing this team score at touchdowns, you know, rather than kicking long field goals. They like the defense. They like the excitement factor. I mean, they're worried about the injuries. We all were worried about the injuries that happened on Thursday night, but I think they really are turned on about the way the team played in the first two games, and they saw improvement from one Thursday to last Thursday, and I think that's only going to continue now as they get going on Saturday night against Indianapolis, which will be a great test. I thought the Indianapolis game last year was the one that kind of – that was the tip game. They had beaten Cincinnati.
Yeah,
Jimmy Haslam had been voted in a couple of days later unanimously as the owner of the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. And then they went down to Indianapolis in a very winnable game. Remember, the Colts had no running backs.
Yeah, yeah.
They had all kinds of injuries, and they got beat. Josh Gordon had a ball go off his fingertips in the end zone, and then I think that tipped the season.
It did, because I think you were seeing, first of all, a sense that – they knew they could go out there. Hey, Brandon Weeden outplayed Andrew Luck. I mean, he flat out outplayed him. And I think that was...
He did, you're
that,
right.
That was important because it established that Weeden definitely was in his element among the first-round draft picks. And, oh, Luck went on to have, obviously, a playoff season with the Colts and an outstanding rookie year. And statistically better rookie year than Brandon Weeden did. But Brandon Weeden definitely wasn't out of his league.
No.
And if Josh Gordon holds on to that pass, you just think of what might have been. There's no doubt how great a win that would have been, how uplifting it would have been. But I still say that this is a good time for the Browns to take on this Colts team, because you're still pitting the two quarterbacks from that class of 2012.
Right.
And I think for Weeden, it's a good measuring stick.
Now, here's the other thing. In that game, it wasn't that Luck beat him with his arm. He didn't.
Right.
He beat the Browns with his legs that
right.
day. Remember, he ran out of that pocket. I didn't know he ran that way.
Yeah.
You know, but he did. I mean, he was very effective. But you're right. Weeden out threw him in the game and really did a great job that day. And the Browns just could not come up with that one play. And it was, you know, the one that went off the fingertips to Gordon. There were others, too. But that one play that really could just put them over the top and get a win. And I really kind of wonder if they had won that game, if there were a few more wins then coming that would have totaled up a little higher. But I thought that game kind of tipped it over a little bit in a negative way.
Yeah. Well, ultimately for the season, it did.
Now, here's the other thing going into this game against Indianapolis, Vic. This owner for the Colts, Jimmy Irsay, is somebody that he is a Twitter maniac, isn't
he?
I mean, he loves Twitter.
He loves his Twitter.
And after the team did not perform well in the first preseason game, he on Twitter apologized to everybody and said how upset he was with the way the team played and the way the team was coached.
Yeah.
Said, I went back and I told my commanders that is unacceptable, and they were much better last night, although they got away with a couple of gimme, you know, kind of goofy touchdowns against the Giants. So I think that you're going to see the Colts come out and play, you know, try to play very well in front of their home fans.
Hey, let's go to the phones here, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Dean in Florida is with us now. Hey, Dean.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. One of the things, I was at the both Browns games, and I saw Brandon Weeden. I get his autograph before the hotel on Saturday. And I said to him, how's it feel to get the plays in on time? And he laughed. So I think that's the big thing in Cleveland, though. We talk to people that the plays are coming in time. They're not being interrupted by the coach. And can you imagine, though, if you're a rookie quarterback and the play's not coming in? There had to be a sense of panic.
Yeah. You know, Dean, Brandon was in with Vic and I on a one day very, very early in training camp. And he said there was a goal to get out of that huddle with like 14, wasn't it 14?
About 14 seconds.
14
yeah.
seconds left yeah. to get up to the line of scrimmage. And you're right. That was a little bit of a chaotic scene and more than a number of times last year.
Yeah, I think your Dean, it's a really good point you made, because it speaks to, again, this whole point of comfort level that we talked about. And that never really was, I don't think, a priority of this previous coaching staff. I think the feeling was, and this is probably true with most coaching staffs, I think the attitude among them is, look, we're going to run things as we run them. This is how the offense is structured. Mm-hmm. You learn it, you do it.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to tailor too much toward the player. Now, that's not to say that Pat Shurmur and Brad Childress were completely against the idea of trying to give Weeden something he could be comfortable with, and certainly in the plays that were called and selected for game plans, they tried to do what he not only understood and liked, but what he showed well doing in the practice field. That's standard coaching. But this whole approach this year is tailored specifically to how he does things.
Yeah. Dean, where are you in Florida?
I think Dean's gone.
Dean's gone. Well, wherever he is, he's back doing it.
That's it. And he's there. But he makes a trek up to watch these games.
How about that? Great. Yeah, he's been at both games
already. But that's typical of Browns fans, of being so loyal and enamored with what's going on. And, look, you can feel this, the level of excitement. I mean, there was attendance at that game. I want to say it was about 12,000 more. Now, you know, preseason games, the numbers are the numbers. They don't tend to compare to – you know, filling that stadium out as you would in the regular season. But I think the comparison between this preseason game and last year's second preseason game, if I'm not mistaken, I think the difference was about 12,000 to the good, where the Browns had more. That's making a statement, Jim.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, really. I mean, you know, and just listening to the team say that they had a 94% renewal percentage, people coming back with their season tickets. Now, that's after 5-11. Okay, I think that's very – very effective marketing, and I think there's belief in what's going on. I think there's excitement. You got to show it to make people believe it, and I think they've showed it. You know, it builds up to a huge opening game.
It really does.
It really builds up to a huge opening game, which has been a huge stumbling block for this franchise since they've returned, only winning the opener once.
And as we do this show, just to tell people what's going on outside, because we're in this what we call the Dog Bowl, and Nathan Zagura called it that. We started calling it it's a fishbowl existence because it's a lot of glass. But there's a tour. Joe Banner, the Browns CEO, is actually conducting a tour with the media who cover the Browns. And you can see several of the people that we know here. Tom Withers from the Associated Press, among them Daryl Ryder from the CBS, the Fan, and a few other media types. I think that's Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. All folks who are part of this tour who are taking in the interior. This is a tour of this facility because it underwent a $5 million renovation, the studio being a big part of that. And Jim, it's this whole idea of renewed interest and fresh thoughts and people being excited. This, you know, what they're basically doing here and proud of this changeover in this atmosphere. And he's trying to explain what is going to, he is explaining what's gone on in the thinking of a more open atmosphere. There's a lot of glass, a lot of openness. You can see the outside, and everything's transparent. You see what everybody's doing.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, too, and you've felt this since you've come back, is that in the past, this was basically just football here in the last few years. I mean, you know, it was coaches, you know, rumbling around in the hallways. And that's different now because you've got everybody here, everybody from the ticket sellers to marketing to everybody is here. And it really does add a real energy inside the building where these coaches, I think, kind of like it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're feeling it. And there's a lot of young people here that have jumped on board and you know, are part of selling the Browns to you out there. We'll continue on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, here on ESPN 850 WKNR. We'll take a timeout, and we'll be back.